Well, this evening we are singing in Psalm number 87. Psalm 87 is our opening praise. And we sing the whole of the psalm. 87 verses 1 to 7. Now, let us read in Psalm number 1, our first reading in Psalm number 1, and again, reading through the whole psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And we shall now join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather again around the word to pray and to praise, to preach and to listen, help us, we pray, to understand what it is that we are doing and to understand the clarity with which the scripture speaks of the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous, the godly and the ungodly. As the psalm that we have been reading makes abundantly plain, the wicked will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. The ungodly shall gather in the congregation of the Lord and shall be established. And so as we come again before the open scripture, We pray that we would remember that these scriptures, all of them, are directing our attention to the person and the work of Christ, and that they are written in order that we may be made wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, as the Apostle Paul writes concerning his own understanding of the gospel and his own appreciation of it and application of it to his own life, the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our own Lord. And so as we come again to the scriptures, we come praying that we would be hungry and thirsty for spiritual heavenly food, that we would hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we would be hungering and thirsting after Christ, not simply after religion or morality or orthodoxy or traditionalism or creedal utterances, but a personal acquaintance with Christ Jesus, our Lord, that we would know his love for us in his crucifixion on our behalf, his love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that we would love him in return, and that we would seek to serve him all the days of our life, that we would know with the Apostle Paul of old that we through the law have died to the law in order that we might live unto God. Nevertheless, we do live, yet we do not live, but Christ lives within us. And the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and who gave himself for us. O God, help us to understand that this is the gospel. We are so acquainted with religion. We are so acquainted with the influence of religion in society, indeed shaping whole nations in their outlook and direction. We are so accustomed to religion shaping our own lives that we may even take it for granted that because we are born into a privileged Christian religion and with an upbringing that is a Bible reading and praying upbringing, that we would assume, therefore, like Israel of old, that all is well with our souls and that we belong to God and are citizens of his kingdom and the special objects of his affection and his attention. And yet we pray that as we understand the gospel further and delve deeper into it, we see that the superficial layer of religiosity will not do. It will not stand the test in that day. It will not stand the scrutiny of so many even in this our day, and it will not stand the pressures that come to us from time to time even in this present world. And that is why, O God, we see so many falling away, so many seeking refuge in worldly lies and deceits and in worldly possessions and pleasures, and turning away from the ways of Christ, because religion so often is wholeheartedly, it seems, embraced with full commitment and without argument. And then the storms come and the burning heat comes and the shallow soil will not do to produce good fruit, and the hard heart and the stony soil. Only the good soil will receive in any depth and meaningfulness the seed of the gospel, and the storms will come and the winds will blow and trials and temptations of all different kinds will assail us, and many would seek to uproot our most holy faith within our hearts. And yet those who are born of God, planted in the garden of the Lord, are like the trees of Lebanon planted by the waters, and they will still produce fruit even unto old age when others fail. And so we pray that as we come again to the scriptures, that we would recognize that this great matter of Bible teaching and Bible application is a personal, individual matter, a matter of choice that we must make, a matter of commitment, a matter of cleaving to Jesus Christ and to his words. And like Peter of old, we would confess, to whom else can we go? Because thou hast the words of eternal life. And so in these days in which we are pressurized, in which there is even dissension within the ranks of the church itself over issues that are pressing upon us concerning COVID and closures and other issues related to these strange times, we recognize how fragile the Church of Christ really is, how flimsy at times is the outward appearance of unity and unity of mind and of one accord, and how easily we are, as it were, led astray and led away. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, to be strengthened in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We pray that the congregations of Christ would be able to stand together, recognizing that in unity there is strength, and this unity is not simply a matter of natural virtues or predilections, but a matter of grace, a matter of a new birth, a matter of repentance for sin, a matter always of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things, whatever they be, are of secondary nature, and perhaps even tertiary nature, and weigh down the list of important issues to deal with. Always we pray, O God, that we would seek first the kingdom, and that we would examine ourselves, that we would desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because without this, all is flimsy foolishness and empty shells of religious traditionalism and appearance. So grant us to close in this evening again to the serious teaching of the Scriptures concerning the issues of life, the reality of death, and the issues of that great and notable day of the Lord. So we give thanks, O God, that the Scriptures speak so plainly, that the Spirit of God can lead us into the truth, and that in Jesus Christ we have every reason to continue in faith and in hope and in love, to run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, always and only looking unto Jesus, day by day, moment by moment, decision by decision, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. May we consider him always and again this evening. This is our prayer now, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to read further in the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 17, the burden of Damascus. This is the condemnation of Damascus. This is a warning concerning the judgment of the nations. And now we come to Damascus. The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They shall be for flocks, which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. And at that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean. It shall be as when the harvestman gathers the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm. And it shall be as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. Yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it, as the shaking of an olive tree. Two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the outmost fruitful branches thereof, says the Lord God of Israel. At that day shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And he shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. In that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bough and an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shall eat it with strange slips. In the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations, that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before a whirlwind. And behold, at eventide trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us. And so on. Amen. The notices are, of course, the Sunday services, 10:30 a.m., 4:30 p.m., and we anticipate that they will be recorded messages, and we welcome you to these recorded services. We sing now in Psalm 88. Psalm number 88, we sing the opening verses 1 to 7. Lord God, my Saviour, day and night before thee cried have I. And we sing to verse number 7, Psalm 88, to God's glory.